dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host for an exploration of the war of ideas with some of the finest combatants in the business, folks who are fighting for you. First up, we'll have in segment two, Sarah Carter of the Washington Examiner. She is their crack national security correspondent and has been breaking a slew of stories that should be worrying to all of us about what's happening on our southern border involving Somalis and others being smuggled across, seemingly with the desire, probably the intention, of doing us harm. We'll get into that with Sarah and much more concerning what is happening here and around the world that should be of concern to all of us, not just the national security correspondent of the Washington Examiner. Segment three, we'll have Waleed Faris, our duty expert on the Middle East, jihadism, and the dangers that it poses, not just in the region of great interest to us, but here at home as well. Waleed is, of course, with the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, an author and fantastic contributor at Fox News and elsewhere, and we're delighted to have him with us to talk about Iran, the anniversary celebrated over the weekend of the anniversary of a stolen election, an outpouring anew of opposition to the regime, and also what's the latest on Turkey and its efforts, among others, to threaten our ally, Israel. All of that ahead with Waleed Faris in segment three. In segment four, we will be talking about Asia with Gordon Chang. Never a dull moment in Asia. We'll be covering a series of stories, including notably the revelation that there may be $1 trillion worth of very valuable minerals under the Afghan soil we are bloodily fighting to protect. Will it find its way into the hands of the Taliban? And much more with Gordon Chang. But first up, I wanted to share with you something that came across my wires earlier today from a friend and much admired colleague, Deborah Burlingame. You remember Deborah is the sister of Chick Burlingame, who was the pilot of the plane that was hijacked and flown into the Pentagon on 9/11. Deborah has sent up a warning concerning an appointment, the nomination of James Cole to be the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. That is, as she points out, the key position in the Department of Justice in many respects. It runs it day to day. While Eric Holder is the Attorney General, most of the mischief can be made by the number two, as indeed we saw when Eric Holder himself was the number two during the Clinton administration, and he managed to pardon, or get pardoned, I should say, 16 terrorists belonging to the Puerto Rican terrorist group FALN, and also a pardon for Mark Rich, a man who had made, as she points out, billions of dollars engaging in illegal oil trades on behalf of Iranian Ayatollahs. This guy, James Cole, has a somewhat checkered past that should be really of concern to all of us. It bespeaks a conflict of interest at the very least, if not very bad judgment. He represented Prince Naif bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, not a household name necessarily, but a man who was in charge of the Al Haramain Foundation, one of the instruments the Saudis use, a so-called charity, to wage jihad, including providing charitable funds to Al-Qaeda, both before and after September 11th. Do we really want a guy who's representing these sorts of folks running our Justice Department, especially since one of the jobs the Justice Department has to do at the moment is protect us against these kinds of Saudi charities? Then there's the question, of course, of Mr. Cole's service as an independent overseer of the insurance giant AIG. This, of course, is the company we now own as a result of the lousy overseeing that was done by Mr. Cole and others of its finances. It also happens that during the time he was a member of that oversight organization, and of course to the present day, AIG is promoting Sharia in the form of the Sharia compliant insurance products that makes AIG the largest purveyor of such instruments in the world. Now, that raises questions about whether there's not only a conflict of interest for Mr. Cole, but there is also a conflict with the Constitution of the United States, which says that there shall be a separation of church and state. This is a matter of a lawsuit that our colleague David Yarshalmi is now bringing in federal court against the Treasury Department, against the Federal Reserve Board. This is a matter that will be before the courts for some time to come, probably, and Mr. Cole will have a conflict of interest there, I would suggest, too. In other words, we've got serious issues here. And when we already have an attorney general who can't bring himself to talk about radical Islam in testimony before the Congress, we've got a man who has appointed seven or maybe as many as nine lawyers who previously volunteered their services to try to spring Al-Qaeda terrorists from Guantanamo Bay, now serving in senior positions in the Justice Department. And we have, according to Peggy Noonan, among others, a Justice Department that the Inspector General of that department has now said is totally unprepared to deal with the aftermath of weapons of mass destruction. Is this really the moment when we want people like James Cole in charge? I suggest to you it is not. I suggest to you that this is problematic in the extreme. And yet tomorrow, the 15th of June, this man is supposed to be getting a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which I assume is moving on such a fast track in the hopes of getting a rubber stamp applied to his nomination by the Senate before anybody is even alert to the danger that might be associated with this nomination. Danger in the sense of, at the very least, conflicts of interest. Danger in the sense of more bad judgment being brought to bear in the Justice Department. And frankly, danger in the sense that the man who will be running it may contribute rather than fix the manifest problems that we are now seeing in so many areas, including lack of preparedness for dealing with the contingency, a real contingency, as Sarah Carter will probably tell us, of weapons of mass destruction going off in this country. We need to be on top of this. We need to be challenging this nomination. I hope you will do so immediately with your representatives in the Senate, especially if you have them on the Judiciary Committee. Next up, we're going to be talking with Sarah Carter about those threats coming from our southern border. What are they? What is being done about it? And what more do we need to be doing to ensure that we mitigate the very real and growing dangers of our border insecurity? All of that with Sarah Carter, straight ahead.
Want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, gold, gold. Everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them, too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my Rare Opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined now by the estimable Sarah Carter, crack national security correspondent for the Washington Examiner, an incredibly important publication here in the Washington area, and the more so for the really extraordinary reporting that Sarah does on so many issues. And Sarah, I wanted to welcome you back to Secure Freedom Radio, first of all, and secondly, to say I thought especially important several articles that you've recently written that sort of form a kind of troika, if you will, on what is happening in Latin America and what it might mean for us given the porousness of our borders. So let's start with something you've written on the 8th in the Examiner about drug cartels that are smuggling illegals from, I guess, Somalia and elsewhere who may have as their purpose terrorist attacks on the United States. What can you tell us about what you found?
It's great to be back, Frank. And yeah, I think it's very important that we look
you know, at connecting all these dots. And you brought up this troika, you know, and it's very true. What, you know, what intelligence officials have been seeing for a long time and they've been concerned about for a long time, not that they had been seeing it as much, but what they're seeing now is this possibility of this connection between these nefarious groups, these drug cartels, these terrorist organizations, these smuggling operations, and how they would utilize each other, particularly the terror organizations, to bring people across the border through Mexico, through Latin America, then up through Mexico and into the United States. And what they're seeing is truly frightening. I mean, our borders are not secure. And we know that. The Defense Department has admitted to that in reports, which I've published. So has the Department of Homeland Security, particularly foot soldiers, those people that are working in the department that are down on the ground every day, our federal law enforcement. And what they're seeing is how these groups are utilizing each other, particularly the terror organizations. What we've seen in this last report that I did that you talked about is the special interest aliens. Now, these are people from countries that we have deemed a threat to the United States. Countries like Somalia, where we know their Al-Shabaab has training camps, where they have direct ties with Al-Qaeda, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and other areas of the world where terror organizations have a stronghold. And what we're seeing is drug cartels, now drug trafficking organizations, part of the major cartel operations, are focusing exclusively on these people from special interest countries.
Now, Sarah,
and that should be frightening.
Yeah, it is indeed. We're talking again with Sarah Carter of the Washington Examiner. You have stitched into this, it seems to me, very important other information about Mexico actually providing identification to illegal aliens in the United States. Might that provide a cover, if not for the special interest country terrorist types, perhaps others who have actually, as I understand it, been converted to what authoritative Islam calls Sharia in Mexico itself, that can thereby become credentialed, legitimated in a way in our country? And what would the implications of that be?
It's happening. I mean, if anyone questions that, I mean, all they have to do is look at how people have been recruited in the United States, you know, from first generation folks from these countries of special interest to also, I mean, Jihad Jamie and others in Europe. I mean, this isn't just a U.S. problem. This is a Western problem. I mean, the European agencies, I've spoken with people in Interpol, I've spoken with people overseas, foreign intelligence, and this is something that they're looking at as well. I mean, we're seeing this in Mexico. Yes, they are recruiting. They are building bases, you know, of recruitment. And it's not just through the internet. I mean, we're seeing it in mosques and we're seeing it in different places. So we have to be very aware of what's happening. You could also have, you know, the jihadist, the lone wolf guy, the one that wants to be a part of it. That could potentially be a problem too. But when you think about the cartels and how they operate, you know, they're not based on ideology, true. They're based on power and money and influence. And whether they knowingly or unknowingly move or smuggle humans into the United States that pose a serious risk to our national security, that means folks who have been trained to build bombs, people who are parts of sleeper cells. This is very real. And this is what's happening. This is what is happening right before our very eyes. This is something that, you know, even the CIA was looking into years ago. I remember talking, open discussion we had with Director Hayden about this in the past. And, you know, he brought up a very interesting point. He said the next time, if an attack should take place, it may not come from the person we suspect. Yeah. It may be somebody that we just had no idea had been recruited, somebody like a Jihad Jane or a Jihad Jamie or a sleeper cell of, you know, first or second generation folks. So we have to be very mindful to connect these dots and to make it and make ourselves aware that it's a very real possibility. If we don't, I mean, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah. Sarah Carter, let's connect one of those other dots that you've mentioned in this troika that you've been reporting on. In addition to the drug cartels smuggling terrorists or would-be terrorists, we think, into our country from special interests and countries of special interest and elsewhere. In addition to the Mexican government perhaps enabling some of this through its efforts to legitimate credential illegal aliens in this country, talk to us about what you've discovered about Hugo Chavez, the president dictator of Venezuela, and his involvement in some of these same kinds of activities.
This is fascinating. This is something that, yeah, a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to because we've got so much news going on in so many different parts of the world that we kind of forget about Hugo Chavez and his, you know, and what's going on in Venezuela. His open borders pretty much with Iran. You know, it's pretty easy for any Iranian to fly into Venezuela. And what's even more interesting is his backing of groups such as Ejército Popular Revolucionario. It's a group, it's an EPR, it's a terrorist organization bent on destabilizing Mexico. Splinters of the group have also worked in that, you know, in the Mexican region. They were responsible for the bombing of the gas lines not too long ago. But what was very interesting is that according to sources that I've spoken with and people who have been unfortunately at the end of the stick with these guys, Hugo Chavez has been funding these groups. Yeah. And part of this funding is to destabilize, you know, Mexico, which is in itself at war with these narcotics organizations and these and what I call narco terror organizations. And it's a huge problem, and it presents a huge national security risk to our country.
Yeah.
I mean, the funding of these groups, if you think about it, I mean, not just the kidnappings that they have become a part of, but just funding groups like this, you know, it allows Chavez the kind of leeway and the capability for others in the region to get away with what they do. For example, we know that, you know,
very quickly,
Chavez
sorry.
And... Yeah, we know that Chavez has also been a part of, like, backing the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I mean, this has been stories that have been coming out. So it opens up a whole new problem for the U.S., is
it
what
does.
I'm trying to say. Whole new problem.
I'm so grateful that you're covering it for not only the Washington Examiner, Sarah Carter, but also for us here at Secure Freedom Radio, and we hope you'll come back. We wanted to talk to you on Flag Day about the Arlington Cemetery fiasco, which you've covered most recently, and we'll do that another time. But thank you so much for joining us and for this splendid work you're doing at the Examiner, really keeping an eye on these things and for sharing those insights with us from time to time here at Secure Freedom Radio. It really matters to all of us. Next up, we have Dr. Walid Farez on Turkey, the flotilla, the effort to destroy Israel, and Iran. What's coming in that front next? All of that straight ahead on Secure Freedom Radio.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at SecureFreedomRadio.org. Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like...
Lowest prices in town. Dealer-approved, certified pre-owned.
No obligation consultation.
Nor will we brag about our...
huge selection. Enormous variety.
One-stop shopping.
Everything under one roof.
Or promise...
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like...
See store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you...
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to FeedThePig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke?
If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save. Feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Dr. Waleed Fares, a man you see frequently, I'm happy to say, on Fox News and read about elsewhere. Most especially, he is a senior fellow and driving force behind the work of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, and he is a fabulous and very valued contributor to us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Waleed, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Listen, there's a lot to cover, and we'll run out of time before we do justice to any of it. But let's try, first of all, if we can, to talk about the takeaway that you have from what has happened to date and what might be in prospect as a result of Turkey's increasingly aggressive activities, notably towards Israel and the effort to associate itself with Hamas and others in the region, not least the Iranians, the Syrians, who are no friends of ours, to say nothing of friends of Israel.
Well, look, many analysts now in America and in Europe are focusing on this new or alleged new Turkish policy, AKP policy with regard to Israel, and soon to be with regard to the United States policies in the region, mostly because of what we saw, the flotilla, the Jihad Gaza flotilla, and the aftermath of that. I have been looking at the changes in the Turkish government policies since 2002, specifically in 2003, when they refused to let our forces, U.S. forces, come to Iraq from their own territory. That was the benchmark, basically. And here it's another lesson for us here in the West, observers and analysts, to look at the text, to look at the ideology, and not to wait six more years to understand that what came to Turkey in 2002 and later on started to change policy, the AKP, Islamic Party, is really an Islamist party.
Yeah.
They were not shy about it in their statements and their speeches back even in the 80s or in the 90s. The bottom line is that the AKP, Islamist Party of Turkey, now headed by Mr. Erdogan, and which has a majority in the Turkish parliament, is simply slowly and gradually, on the strategic level, deconstructing the Turkey that we in America and in the West have known for many, many decades. So I would warn, and I would actually caution, the way we're going to frame this. This is not Turkey. This is a Turkish Islamist regime in place. This is a Turkish government. Let's keep in mind that inside Turkey you have still, up till today, a strong secular force, which will be, that's my projection, Frank, it will be resisting this when time will come. Mm-hmm. Now, the AKP party or government has done very smartly the job of reconstructing a bloc in the region, stretching from Turkey into Iran, from Turkey into Sudan, Turkey into Hamas. Now we've just learned, and we have to confirm that the AKP government has invited the head of Hezbollah, I repeat, of Hezbollah in Lebanon to visit Turkey.
Wow.
And beyond that, reaching out to regimes and governments in Latin America and beyond, which could serve the interests of that emerging bloc. And that emerging bloc basically is not just against Israel, it's really against U.S. policies and Western policies in general.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Waleed Fariz of Fox News, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, and author of a new book, a marvelous addition to his rather extraordinary collection of important pieces on various aspects of the threat, I think, is best described as emanating from Sharia, called The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. Jihad, of course, being the instrument that Sharia uses to advance its purpose. And Waleed, as you know so well, the caliphate was last established in Turkey. There are reports that what the Turks really aspire to is reestablishing the caliphate, and that while there are certainly secular elements, people who are loyal to the constitution that still is on the books, I guess, in Turkey of Ataturk, that had a Muslim state but a secular government, they are now being increasingly shoved aside, aren't they, by Ataturk and his AKP party? And is there really hope that we will be able to stave off a sort of a continuing rise of this kind of aggressive caliphate building, or at least aspiring, on the part of this Islamist regime?
Look, friend, you put it very well, very clearly, actually, and that's how the American public needs to understand it, and they can do it thanks to programs like yours and commentators who shed real light on real issues. What the AKP long-term, and now I would say even medium-term, goal is to reestablish the caliphate. Mm-hmm. The caliphate was only banned in 1924 by a secular force led at the time by Ataturk, Mustafa Kemal Ataturk. What the Erdogan government is trying to do is to deconstruct this secular legacy. They began by, first of all, weakening the army and then the other secular institutions. And it's not just in government. They are funding and supporting sort of networks such as the Golan supporters, the IHH. They are using, quote-unquote, militias, some armed and some non-armed, at least with ideological weapons, to spread that. Yes, they are trying to, in a very methodical and very smart way, to reestablish the foundation, to destroy the foundation of secular Turkey, to reestablish the foundation of the caliphate, and that through education, this seizing the classrooms in Turkey, seizing the broadcast in Turkey is the first stage of reestablishing a Sharia-based caliphate.
Yeah, and I'm afraid you're right. It's a sort of systematic program that is going after all of the institutions. Listen, Waleed, we're almost out of time. Of course, let me segue quickly to something you've written for the American Thinker on the 12th, which ties what's happening here in the flotilla specifically and Turkey's activities with the interests of Iran, a strategic partner, it appears now, for Turkey, namely to sort of obscure the movement by Iran and Syria of very dangerous Scud missiles into Hezbollah's hands. Tell us what to make of all that, and if you can, quickly, what your sense is after the weekend's anniversary of the fraudulent election and the Green Revolution in Iran.
Well, to put it very quickly, from a very high altitude and strategic analysis of what's happening, each one of the partners in this new partnership between the Turkish government, Iranian regime, Syrian regime, Hezbollah, Hamas, Sudan, so on and so forth, is to slowly build a deterrence force. Part of the deterrence force against democracy in this case is to move Iranian-built or Iranian-bought missiles through Syria into the Bekaa Valley, equipping Hezbollah with enough power to deter, in the case of Hezbollah renewing its attacks against Israel or its attacks against U.S. interest or international interest. Now, this brings us to the first anniversary of the Green Movement, the Democratic or the anti-Khomeinist movement, and it is only sad to remind our public that we had a huge opportunity a year ago. The administration had a huge opportunity to make a difference in Iran when 1.5 million people, most of whom are women, young men and women, children, and cab drivers, artists. I mean, civil society was moving to put pressure on the regime, eventually to change the regime. We had even reported that some senior officials of the regime got scared and were ready to move, to go into exile into Syria. And in the midst of this, our decision makers, the president in this case, said we are not going to meddle in this business. But we meddled in South Africa. Yeah. We meddled against
Honduras,
bad regimes in Latin America.
Yeah.
And now we say we don't want to.
Yeah. It's stunning. It's frightening. And it possibly will be enormously consequential. And one of the good things about all of that is we will have you to contribute to our understanding of it. Waleed Faris, thank you so much for joining us. As always, here at Secure Freedom Radio, we hope to have you back soon for more, because heavens knows what you cover is of direct importance to both our security and our freedom. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Next up, we have Gordon Chang. Our Asia hand will give us an update on an important new story out of Asia, Central Asia in this case, namely the possibility that there may be $1 trillion worth of gold and other precious minerals under the Afghan soil over which we fight today. Where does that leave all of us? Gordon Chang, straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, 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 everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my rare opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with
it... You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow. What I'm trying to say is the kid, he should have...
he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no.
Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined for a very important, very topical segment with our friend and colleague on all things Asia, Gordon Chang, to discuss a story that broke in the New York Times today about discoveries that the United States military, I guess, has been the prime mover behind in Afghanistan of enormous, almost unimaginable mineral wealth in that otherwise very, very impoverished country. History is not kind to nations that have discovered such wealth, and it remains to be seen what this will mean for the people of Afghanistan. But to speculate a little bit about that, as well as perhaps more importantly, from our perspective at least, what this might mean for us, we are delighted to welcome Gordon Chang back and to say, what do you make on those two questions, Gordon?
Well, this is important because Afghanistan has a lot of rare earth minerals. Today, China has a near monopoly on rare earths, and and it has told the international community that it is going to stop exports of these minerals for strategic reasons, and that's going to disrupt the global economy. Our economy depends on these rare earths. Our defense depends on these rare earths. Now Afghanistan is going to blow open China's monopoly if these minerals can be exploited, and so this is absolutely crucial for the security of the United States.
Well, this begs two questions. One is, there's evidence that the Chinese are trying to insinuate themselves in Afghanistan, as I understand it, particularly in these mineral areas. And secondly, are you seeing, Gordon, the same things that I'm seeing, which is evidence of a determination on the part of this government, of course, the U.S. government, I'm talking about the Obama administration, essentially to extricate itself under all circumstances, really, from this country, and in so doing, perhaps turn it over to, if not the Chinese, the Russians, or worst, maybe, of all, the Taliban?
Yes, the Taliban could become one of the largest exporters of rare earths, and certainly this is, they're going to work with the Chinese. The Chinese have already got themselves into Afghanistan, getting an enormous copper deposit under their control, which is, by the way, defended by American soldiers.
Yeah.
The Chinese bribed the Karzai government to get the rights to this copper mine. This is an incredible story. And essentially what's happening is the Obama administration, as you say, at the same time is trying to get ourselves out of Afghanistan, which means that we will have no influence at all on these rare earths. We're going to be dependent upon the Taliban for our national security. This is just nuts.
Yeah. You know, it really, it's almost like a novel, Gordon Chang. And I should have said at the beginning that you're following these stories, not just for us here at Secure Freedom Radio, of course, but for Fox News and for Forbes.com and your own marvelous blog at GordonChang.com. And I want to just say that the sort of unbelievable plot twist here of a country that we found ourselves going to war over that seemingly was really of nothing but a backwater and a very difficult one at that, now suddenly turning into arguably one of the most important pieces of real estate in the world, and coming on the heels of our, you know, realization belatedly that we are ill-advisedly, recklessly dependent on some of these same kinds of enemies, those who adhere to Sharia and are seeking to impose it on all of us, in the Middle East most especially, of course, for other strategic resources, notably oil. What would you say to, you know, policymakers in the United States government about, A, the importance of not losing in Afghanistan, and B, the necessity of not getting into another situation where we have already been for years now of relying upon those, excuse me, who are trying to destroy us for these vital resources?
Afghanistan could be more important than Saudi Arabia to the United States in a few years if these minerals can be mined. And if working with the Karzai government, we can make sure that that happens. Afghanistan could become perhaps the most important source of rare earth minerals, which means that we need those in not only green technology, such as car batteries, mm-hmm. but also in the planes that we fly and the ships that we sail. So they would have a more important control over defense industries than this whole idea of Saudi Arabia's control over oil. Because Saudi Arabia is just one nation that has oil among many. Afghanistan could be one among two in the rare earth sector.
And the other one is, we've talked about here before and will continue to, is not friendly, namely Communist China. Speaking of China, Gordon, let me switch quickly to a piece that you wrote on June 11th for the Jamestown Foundation about the non-dialogue quality of the so-called U.S.-China strategic and economic dialogue. What's up there?
Well, last May, at the end of the month, more than 200 Obama administration officials flew to Beijing for the annual strategic and economic dialogue.
I'm sorry, how many people?
More than 200 American officials.
Oh, my God.
What we did, this is really silly for us to send so many people, because we just reinforced China's inflated notions of itself. We would have done much better if we sent two officials plus a note taker, but that's another story. we have had these SEDs, as they are called, from the Bush administration. And essentially, the idea is that we can talk to the Chinese, we can sort of settle business with them. Unfortunately, at this most recent session last month, very little got done, either on the strategic track, which was headed by Hillary Clinton, or on the economic track, which was headed by Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. The Chinese were just intransigent. We didn't move the ball on anything. And it's very clear, because just a few days after the dialogue ended, Defense Secretary Gates went to Singapore for an annual security conference. There, the Chinese told him off publicly. This was a lot of friction. And then the Chinese canceled his long-planned trip to Beijing. Clearly, the Chinese military, plus also Chinese civilian officials, don't want to deal with the United States. And so this is really going to be a problem, because we think talking can solve things. The Chinese have just proven that it can't.
Yeah, it's a dialogue of the deaf, I guess, a strategic and economic dialogue, or SED, of the deaf, especially one that when we are engaged in this kind of thing, I fear is going to only reinforce their contempt for us. Gordon, very quickly, one last thing before we let you go. The changes in the firmament of the South Korean military in the aftermath of this sinking by the North Koreans of one of their ships. What's the background there?
South Korea's top audit committee found that 25 defense officials should be punished for laxity, which led to the sinking of the Chonan on March 26. That included the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Lee, who has just resigned. This is going to reverberate, because many people around the world are going to say, if we can't trust the South Korean military, how can we trust them with regard to what actually happened on that night? This will reverberate through the UN Security Council, and it's going to make it more difficult for South Korea to get a resolution.
Which was difficult in the first place because, as you've said to us in the past, Gordon Chang, the Chinese extracted a promise from the United States not to pursue such a resolution in exchange for their so-called support on the Iranian resolution. We will be watching this closely with you, as always, Gordon Chang, and we appreciate so much your efforts, both in your own right, various other platforms, but also here at Secure Freedom Radio, to equip us with an understanding of what in Asia matters, not just for the region, not just for much of the rest of the world, but for us here in the United States. And we look forward to having you back next week for that purpose. That's it for this installment of Secure Freedom Radio. I hope that you have benefited, as we hope every day, from a new and important insight into your security and freedom and how it can be preserved, both for yourself and for those you love. That's why we're here. That's why we hope you'll continue to be here. Same time, same station, tomorrow. Until then, I appreciate you listening. For all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Gaffney.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.